Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 1 of 2 Parts, March 10, 2015.
Financial Affairs, Mr. Malloy.
Thank you, Mr. President. We covered a number of items at last week's Financial Affairs Committee meeting. The first item we discussed was a mandatory rebidding of our food service contract. Our RFP has been reviewed by our solicitor and PDE. Our next step will be the board to vote for approval to advertise and solicit proposals. Bids will be submitted by April, and in May, the administration will recommend which company to approve. The next item we discussed was very important, our 2015-2016 budget. The key budget factors are working to keep the budget within or under the 1.9 index increase. If we were around the 1.9 increase, this would give us a preliminary budget of approximately $103.8 million, which would increase millage to 44.5156. The impact to the median household would be an increase of $9.98 per month in property tax. Other factors impacting our budget are, of course, the state budget, our capital projects such as the rebuild of Cedarbrook and capital improvements to EP and the high school. Also, the BEC contract expires this June. This is a contract for our support staff, and we have already started negotiation on their new contract. Governor Wolf's budget proposal would benefit both Cheltenham in particular and public education in general. His budget would give a twofold effect. It would provide more money to the school districts and provide property tax relief in 2016 and 2017. Unfortunately, we can't wait to see how much extra money we will get for the 2015-2016 budget. We must have our budget approved by June 9th. And trust me, it will take the state legislature much longer to agree on the state budget for 15-16. Some areas of cost savings are being looked at are continuing to align retirements with our program needs, looking at transportation costs, district-wide overtime, site-based budgeting for class, maximizing special education funds, and investment planning. Important upcoming dates are April 7th for school board budget planning, May 5th for budget hearings, and June 9th for the adoption of the final budget. Finally, we've also received an informational update on our current status of our present budget. We are right on target with our budget projections for both revenue and expenditure for this year, 2014-2015. All this information is on the website in terms of the preliminary budget and any other item you'd like to look up. And we have one action item. This is for the approval of the advertisement and receipt of proposals for district-wide food service RFP effective July 1st, 2015.
Motion.
Second. I've got Mr. Delgado and Ms. Hawkins. Any board comment? Seeing none, I'll call the vote. Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 And aye. Thank you. That motion carries.
Good. And our next meeting will be Tuesday, April 7th in room 119. And Mr. President, I conclude my report. Okay.
Sir, the educational affairs is next. Mr. Rackow was unable to make that meeting. I will give the notes. So on February 17th, the educational affairs committee met. In that presentation, Ms. Cavalier provided us with an update on the continuum of special education services. The conversation and presentation highlighted additional trainings that have existed or taken place throughout the district this year and documenting and tracking needs and services. I've also highlighted some of the emotional support offerings that we are providing now to our students at the high school and as well as some of the conversations around the gaps that we still have and have in other areas. Great discussion on both the gaps in our special needs services, our approach to instructional technology, as well as methods that we can continually use to better assess progress in that area. I'm not going to be able to do it all justice, so I would certainly say the report also is on the website. And with that, I would also like to acknowledge and thank Ms. Cavalier, who is on loan to us from the Chester County Intermediate Unit. Thank you so much for your leadership and guidance throughout the course of this year and the months yet to come. I very much appreciate it. Thank you. The next Educational Affairs meeting is next Tuesday, March 17th, right here. Facilities, Mr. Engler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Facilities Committee met last Tuesday. We had three items that were discussed: Winfield Elementary, Cheltenham High School, and the district-wide Plan Con study that was put together. Pardon me, I will not go through the things that Dr. Bobby has already reported on. But let's see, there are some things, and we'll have three actions at the end of this. There is going to be a change order for Wincote. The inspector, Cax is the name of the company, has been there. The inspector essentially tests all construction surfaces, all materials. This is best practice, this is required. This is what assures us that the construction is going the way we need it to. We ran into a situation with soil on the site there.
Yes.
That consumed a considerable amount of time, so I will have an action item coming up at the end of this for a change order in the amount of $20,984. This allows us to, we had to make up for what was there that was not foreseen, and we have to get to the end of the project, so this should carry us through to the end of the Wincote construction, so we're back into that building in September. The second item that came up was putting out a bid for furniture for the Wincote building, and we have an action item on that. The RFP was put out, four bidders picked up information. Only one bid, and we have an action item for $398,001.75. It'll come up in the resolution. There was a question raised as to why no other bidders had bid. And the response that came back was that the price was just could not be beat by the other bidders. There was an effort made to reach out to women and minority-owned businesses, and I believe that we had one of them check in with us, but they did not put in a bid themselves. CHS project, little theaters moving along. The roof has not been worked on because of that winter that just won't let go. And then we get into a presentation by Gilbert Architect about the district-wide Plan Con study, which looked at all the buildings in the Cheltenham School District, and it looked at our demographic study that was conducted last year, and it provided output on the conditions of the buildings. Now, the elementary schools, which were coming to the end of rebuilding the four elementary schools, there was very little comment on those. There was a lot of focus, obviously, on Cedarbrook, the building that we were out of, the condition of that building. There was a discussion, a brief discussion and material provided on various options as to the Cedarbrook building. There was a review of the Elkins Park building, which needs immediate attention by the school district, and that is in the hands of the administration, and the high school. And the high school is in the middle of several million dollars worth of work, improvements to the building, work that will extend and improve this building as we move into the future, And the administration has also agreed to look at the high school NEP and come back to the board with what the plan is for these buildings. So that is, there was considerable time spent on the presentation and a number of questions that related to the presentation by Gilbert that were responded to by Gilbert. So that brings us to three action items. And the first one is the administration recommends the approval of change orders to CACS Company for inspections and testing not to exceed $20,984 for the Wincare Elementary School project.
Second.
Support comment? Seeing none, I'll call the vote. Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
The second action item, the administration recommends the approval of lowest responsible bidder, ATD America. This is the furniture bid for the Wincare Elementary School. Their bid came in at $398,001.75.
Yes, sir.
Got Ms. Haywood, Ms. Hawkins, for comment.
Yes, sir.
I believe, isn't this a Glenside company also?
Yes, they are the local company, and they also are the same company that provides furniture for Glenside and Chapman Elementary. They will go better on both jobs.
That's good.
Thank you. Seeing no other board coming, I'll call the vote. Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 Aye. That motion carries.
And the last action item from facilities, authorization of request for proposal. The administration recommends authorization for the Department of Support Services to complete the RFP, request for proposal, for distribution and bid for the Cedarbrook rebuild project, the Cedarbrook project.
So moved.
Second. Mr. Ravel and Mr. Delgado, board comment.
I'm going to be voting to support this RFP. However, there was a group of community experts who did assist us, and I wanted to say thank you to you. I wanted to also thank you for your written feedback to the board, which was also very informative. I also would like to state, which Mr. Inglis has also stated, that the administration is going through a concurrent process, or we're encouraging a concurrent process, to look at the facility needs at both EP and the high school. I do think as a board we need to be strategic. We need to look at the long-range planning for our facilities, and while the elementary schools are virtually all rebuilt, we still have significant needs at EP and the high school that as a board we can't forget about. So while I'll be supporting this RFP, I will ask for the administration as soon as possible come back with a comprehensive facility and feasibility study for EP, the high school, and any other remaining building issues in our district.
I don't even know if we're sitting in. Yes. Please, Ms. Russell.
So I too want to thank the citizens who have spoken at quite a number of the meetings we've had, both the facilities meetings and these legislative meetings. And I want to thank Dr. Bobby for meeting with them. It's clear that he's been listening very carefully to what they have to say. I think he's happy that he's, a lot of the things they've brought up, he's already been working on or already had included in the RFP. And so it sounds like it's been a good working relationship that they have exchanged professional knowledge and experience, and that it's been very productive and helpful to us, but also an important voice to hear the local professionals who are experts in some of these areas, such as community planning and architecture and engineering and so on. And I agree with Ms. Haywood that the written feedback we've gotten from them was very, very helpful. I had proposed during our agenda review tonight amending this RFP resolution to condition it on a simultaneous comprehensive plan project, but I understand it would take several months. But that was one of the recommendations from the working group, is that there be a long-term strategic plan looking at all of our facilities for grades 5 through 12, you know, sort of our long-term needs for the high school, our long and short-term needs for both the high school for EP, how this will all work out, how it will work out within our budget. And, excuse me, the thought was that sort of muddies up this resolution, and the administration was already planning to do that, that was already in the works, and so we didn't need to have a special resolution directing the administration to do that, and I have every confidence that they're going to do so and proceed expeditiously. My problem is that I wish we had done that. Thank you. I wish we'd done that earlier, and that we had taken a long view of this whole situation quite some time ago. And I think a number of people on the board and the community have said that, including some of the people in the working group, that if this were a year ago, I might be recommending a different solution. But given where we are now, this is what we're recommending. I also want to thank the Cedarbrook staff and families who have spoken so eloquently at a number of these meetings about how difficult it is. And I know they're doing their 100%, no, their 300% best to make the best of a situation, whether it be like the teachers who are, you know, walking around with carts, and the PTO that's trying to help support a three locale back to school night. It's been really difficult, and it shouldn't go on for a minute longer than it needs to go. But as I expressed at the last legislative meeting, I'm also very concerned that we not make a decision that admittedly is the best for now, if it's not also the best for the long term. And they don't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive, but I want to make sure that we're making the very best long-term decision. And so I'm in a quandary, because I was 100% going to vote against this resolution tonight until I heard the working group saying, we think you ought to go forward with it. I would have preferred to condition the RFP on getting the results of that comprehensive plan, because I fear that if we don't have that first, we're going to be locked in. The RFP doesn't commit us to doing something. If we could spend a heck of a lot of money on the RFP and then decide not to go forward, theoretically. Can't imagine it happening, but it could. But I would rather have that information folded in so that when the RFP goes out, it can take account of the information in that comprehensive plan. It's a very long-winded way of saying that, kind of like at the restaurant when you order last because you're not sure what you want. I'm glad I'm at this end of the table tonight. Because this is probably one of the hardest decisions I've made as a board member, is which way to vote on the RFP. But I want to thank everybody. No matter what happens, I think everybody in this group, everybody in this community, has the best interest of our students and our teachers and our staff and our community and our taxpayers at heart. And whether we agree or disagree on the end result of the vote tonight, I have absolutely no doubt that we are a phenomenal community and that we all have the best interest of our students at heart. And we're all going to work as hard as we can to make sure that we do the best we can.
Mr. Ng.
Don't be afraid. We're going to fix it. I just want to say a heartfelt thank you to the Cedarbrook community, to the administration of Cedarbrook, for your input. We're moving ahead. We're going to do what we need to do. It's in the best interest of that building and certainly of our facility, of our district. I just thank you for all that you do.
Ms. Hopkins.
Thank you. So I too would like to talk a little bit about the reasons why I am unlikely to vote in favor of this resolution. For anyone who was here during our last legislative meeting, we undertook the resolution to move forward pending plan con feasibility, whatever we were calling it at the time, although I think we were calling it a feasibility study, because at the time my concern was that we were still considering all of the available options and weighing those options thoughtfully and carefully. in making decisions that were in the best interest of the entire school district. Notwithstanding and not at all discounting the very difficult situation that Cedar Brook finds itself in as a school community. What I hear now is that this has been a planned justification process for a path-dependent choice that was made long ago and that we have been very wedded to, despite the fact that I see no reason, overwhelmingly, except again, the path-dependent nature of this decision, and at this point, time is getting away from us, I don't deny that, but it didn't have to be that way. But I'm not convinced that we've fully considered, fully weighed all of our options, been thoughtful, been creative, put everything on the table. And I'm particularly sensitive as a lawyer to being convinced of the rightness of a position when you only have one alternative. And feeling very differently when other alternatives are presented about the rightness of a particular position. So I think we've only been presented a single option, fully vetted, fully supported, fully documented, fully justified. And that feels like a very right decision under those circumstances. But I don't think that those are the circumstances that we ought to be making this decision. And for those reasons, and because I'm not convinced otherwise, notwithstanding, again, the fact that I am very comforted by the fact that we did engage community experts, and they also have supported this, again, given the path attendance, given the emergent circumstances of the situation, I think that that does calm my mind somewhat, but not entirely, because again, I think even that decision is made in the context of a path dependence about one choice. And again, I think that if we don't figure out a way to do this correctly with some foresight and not just hindsight, that we're going to be in the situation again and again, because there are other facilities needs. There's a comprehensive plan that needs to be developed for this school district, and we're not doing that, and we ought to be. I do not feel that this is the best course.
So I will take my turn to first and foremost, I want to thank Ms. Gray, Mr. England, for your leadership of the Facilities Committee and getting us to get to this point. I want to thank the dissenters, both now and in prior meetings, for continuing to push us as a board and push the conversation, and to make sure that we help display the diversity of thought on this board. I also want to make sure that I mention that this is not a process that has occurred over the past several months. So I think, the past several prior superintendents who have helped look over this decision for Cedar Brook and for our long-term building needs. There was a long-term facilities plan that included major renovations that the prior board that most of us did not sit on established that and foresaw and began this discussion. I want to thank those members of the community and of our teachers who participated on the grade reconfiguration process. I want you to know that work was not in vain. This is all important work that we have had to use and compile and wrestle with to get to a decision and a direction. And so thank everyone involved, the community members, many members of the township and county planning commissions who have helped out with this. This is not an easy one, and it's also, you will not see major equipment showing up at Cedar Brook based on this RFP. So there's still plenty more work to do, but I want to continue to make sure we thank everyone involved in getting us to this point and continuing to surround us with your support, encouragement, kind words, knowledge, and insight. And we will continue to move forward for Cedar Brook. So tomorrow there will still be school. Mr. Bender, make sure that Cedar Brook continues. And please thank the two lovely women sitting next to you, because without you both and the PTO organizations that support and drag through the mud through all of this, last 10 minutes notwithstanding. Thank you. Saying that, I will now call the vote. Mrs. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 No.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries.
not had a liaison committee meeting since the last legislative meeting. The next meeting is scheduled for Monday, April 13th at 9 a.m. at the Township Building.
Personnel Committee. Ms. Russell.
The Personnel Committee is about to meet. It's been a long time of morning. I had discussions with administration, and we're working on a proposal for the board to discuss in terms of the composition of the Personnel Committee and what its charge will be. And so we're hopeful, we're planning to present that to the board on next Tuesday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, wear your green, at 6:15 before the Educational Affairs Committee meeting. So if anybody wants to come and hear what the proposal is and offer any input onto how the Personnel Committee ought to be set up and operate, you're welcome to come to room 119 at 6:15 on March 17th. That's all.
Ms. Gray.
I just spoke a few moments ago and I said the liaison committee meeting was on April 13th at 9 a.m. and it's at 8 a.m.
Thank you. And thank you also, Ms. Russell. I look forward to that meeting very much so. Ms. Hopkins, policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Unfortunately, as we all know, the school district and its buildings were all closed last Thursday on March the 5th. We were supposed to have our policy committee meeting, and so that meeting was not held as scheduled, but it has been rescheduled for Thursday, March the 26th at 8:30 a.m., which is our normal meeting time in room 119. And so, therefore, I don't have any report from that prior meeting, but I do have a motion to approve all of the policies as listed that I presented at the last legislative meeting with respect to board orientation, required appearances, and reporting of arrested convictions, as well as contracted services, and the repeal of one policy relating to policy development.
Thank you.
Second. Ms. Haywood and Mr. Delgado. Board comment?
I just want to again recognize Ms. Hawkins for running a very efficient policy committee and subcommittee of the board, and hopefully this will be a tone for future subcommittees of the board. You can really get a lot of things done in a very short period of time, and so again, I want to thank you for running the committee very well, along with your administrative liaison, Ms. David. And the minister, this is hard.
Thank you, Ms. Haywood. I would like to return the favor to the persons, including Ms. Haywood, Mr. England, and Mr. Malloy, who serve on that committee, and as always, Ms. David and Mr. Burns, and Ms. Shedd, the whole team who support us in that work. So thank you.
I would like to second, because it's a really good committee. We get a lot done within, usually within an hour's time. And it's a good way to do committee work. Thank you. I love this talk. All right, let's get it. All right, let's Ms. Hopkins.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Those policies, I assume, will now be posted on the website.
Yes, they will.
Legislative report, Ms. Haywood.
Yes, not too much going on in Harrisburg these days, of course there is. So Governor Walz presented his budget proposal on March the 3rd. A big portion of that was the education proposed budget for 2015-2016. It was bold. I think it will, if it were passed as it was presented today, we could leave. Again, it would really turn the tide on the focus on public education, the funding of public education, really looking at public education as really a valuable resource for Pennsylvania. Just to give some highlights with respect to the budget and its implications for Cheltenham, he proposed the following budget changes. Although, again, Mr. Malloy indicated these are not final, these are proposed, the legislature will be likely passing and adopting their budget far after we adopt our budget. So the benefit of any of these enhancements Ontario budget will be dealt, or dealt next year. So without further ado, these are some of the highlights from Governor Wolf's proposed education budget. He calls for a $400 million increase to basic education funding, $100 million increase to special education funding, $120 million increase for early childhood education, $160 million savings to go to charter school reform, with school districts receiving a 10% decrease to charter school funding, $20 million for career and technical schools, $8 million for career counseling in middle and high schools, excuse me, $9 million for dual enrollment, and $47 million for pre-K through 12 higher education investments. In order to figure out how to allocate these funds, we all know that the state of Pennsylvania needs a fair and equitable funding formula. Governor Wolf will be relying on recommendations raised or proposed by the Basic Education Funding Commission. Their recommendations should be out by June, I believe. Those recommendations from Governor Wolf's perspective should include, a fair and equitable funding formula that takes into account adequacy, if the formula is equitable, predictable, and accountable. These are all portions of a resolution that we also adopted as a board last month or the month before. The plan calls on a reliance on real estate taxes by school districts, and if passed in its current proposed state, Cheltenham would receive a 21.3% decrease for individual taxpayers to your real estate taxes. As we continue to build our budget, we'll watch very closely what's going on in Harrisburg, and we will hopefully adopt a budget prior to the state adopting theirs. So sometimes people ask, this is a great report, so what can you do though? What can we do as we're sitting here? I ask each and every one of us to really take these proposals to heart. These again are proposals, and how what you can do is actually call your representatives, both Representative Steve McCarter and State Senator Art Haywood, who I know a little bit, and really advocate for support of these proposals, which I know that both of them do, but urge them to urge their other fellow representatives and senators to do the same. We've asked for the administration to post the governor's proposed education budget on our website, so look for that. It has a little more detail than I just provided, and that should be up within the next couple of days. That concludes my report.
Concurrent to what you were just discussing, there was a hearing this afternoon of the Democratic Policy Committee in Winco. It was sponsored by State Representative Steve McCarter, and he had about 15 other representatives from Erie, Allegheny County, Philadelphia, all over the state. And this focus was on pre-K, but that impacts us potentially in two ways. One is children who are better prepared, better learners, and the potentiality of us in the future bringing together K-12 with pre-K. So they are moving, following that budget, with digging down into that, the pre-K a little bit deeper.
There's no lack of activity. Wonderful. All right, at this point we'll turn it over to the administrative reports. Ms. David.
Thank you. The personnel agenda is submitted this evening as a consent agenda. One, acceptance of resignation, A through E. Two, approval of retirements, A and B. Three, approval of leadership stipend positions, A. Four, approval of a position, A and B. Five, rescission of board hire, A. Six, agreement with Board of School Directors, A. Seven, leaves of the absence, A through D. Eight, change in approved leave of absence, A. 9, appointment of consultant A. 10, approval of support staff A and B. 11, appointment of homebound instructors A. 12, approval of extra duty, extra pay A.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Mr. Racker and Ms. Haywood, I'll ask for board comment, please.
This is my link. I just wanted to follow up on some of the questions that, again, that Mrs. Talby asked earlier. The consultant is limited. The contract limits the consultant to the financial services office to 2 days a week. So it's not an unlimited, you know, thousands of hours kind of contract. And as Dr. Kiefer said, the intent is actually to pay for himself, to help us recognize efficiencies. And Ms. Michael's doing a fantastic job in that office, and just make sure it runs as perfectly as it can. The athletic coordinator, I've heard from some people in this room, and we all have, from people from the high school and from the community, that after there were some budget cuts, there were some personnel cuts at the high school a few years ago, we sort of placed a big burden on certainly the on the administrative staff at the high school. And so the new position of athletic coordinator hopefully will make things a little bit easier and make sure that everything continues to run fabulously over at the high school. And the human resources position that we're adding, the state law requires a lot more background checks of personnel before they can be hired. We complain a lot about state mandates. This one is designed to protect children and make sure that we don't hire people with criminal records and so on. So it's a lot more work will be involved, and that's one of the reasons for adding this position. So we've received justification from the administration for each of the positions in terms of why they will end up benefiting the district. But I want people to know that the board questions the administration every time there is a proposal to add a position. questions at length, ad nauseum. So we don't add them lightly, but when we get a recommendation for things that are ultimately in the best interest of the district, they move forward to the agenda. Thank you.
Any other board comment? I will note item 2B, a 28-year veteran is retiring. My wife has been teaching about 9, and I can sense the impact. So 28, God bless. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing both of those retirees at the breakfast next year. I think this year they ought to be doing some work or something, but congratulations to both. I will now call vote, Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion is carried. Thank you. Educational Affairs, Mr. Nolan.
Good evening. The Educational Affairs agenda is presented as a consent agenda tonight. Approval of conferences 1A through E. 2, approval of volunteers A. 3, acceptance of gift A. 4, approval of educational services agreement, A. 5, approval of expulsion, A through D. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Oh, thank you.
Second.
There you go. That's our first time. Board comment. Seeing none, I'll call vote, Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
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 And aye. Motion is carried. Thank you. Financial affairs. Ms. Michaels.
Thank you. The financial affairs agenda is presented as a consent agenda this evening as well. 1A approved the 2014-15 budget transfers. There are no budget transfers to report this month. 2A approval of payments as listed.
Seeing none, I'll call the vote, Ms. Hawkins.
Aye.
And aye. Those motions carried. Thank you so much.
response to prior public questions. I don't believe we had any unanswered. At this point, thank you all for waiting. I'd like to turn the meeting over to you. This is now the public comments portion of the meeting. This is open to public comments that are not on the agenda. Please.
And I'm the Vice President of the Shelton Dam African American Alliance, which Ms. Haywood started, and Stacey Williams. And I'm also a retired reading specialist at Glenside Elementary School. I was there for 18 years. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight about the need for funding for mentoring programs in each and every school in the district. The question is, what does research say about the benefits of mentoring programs? Mentors help keep students in school. Students who meet regularly with their mentors are 52% less likely than their peers to skip a day of school, and 37% less likely to skip a class. This is based on research done by Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Mentors help improve a young person's self-esteem. Youth who meet regularly with their mentors are 46% less likely than their peers to start using illegal drugs, and 27% less likely to start drinking, also based on a study done by Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Mentors teach young people how to relate well to all kinds of people and help them to strengthen communication skills. Mentors help young people set career goals and start taking steps to realize them. But the strongest benefit, according to a 2013 study, which was titled The Role of Risk, Mentoring Experiences and Outcomes for Youth with Varying Risk Profiles, was a reduction in depressive symptoms. And we all know that children who are feeling depressed and unhappy are not going to do well in school. Right now, I am working with Iris Parker on restarting a mentoring program at Shelton High School. We have basketball students from Arcadia and also students from the African American Association at Arcadia who have signed up to become mentors at the high school. And they have gone through a training session with me 2 weeks ago at Arcadia. But in year two, what I want to talk to you about now is a mentoring program that took place at Glenside Elementary School. Back in April in the year 2000, I started a mentoring program at Glenside Elementary School. It was the first mentoring program on the elementary level ever started in this district. I thought of the idea when our former superintendent, Chris McKinley, called a meeting in which included each school's principal and two other staff members. He showed statistics that showed the achievement gap in this district. And he charged each school team with immediately beginning some type of program to address the problem of the achievement gap. We decided at Glenside to start the mentoring program. At Glenside, teachers, administrators, and assistants our mentors, and we mentor over 30 students every single year. We believe we saw significant reductions in behavioral issues, and we provided support to many teachers who lost parents due to death or incarceration, or who just needed a helping hand. We also attempted to level the cultural playing field by providing trips, such as going to see the Nutcracker, going to hear the orchestra play, going to Phillies games, and seeing live theater at the Shelton Dam Center for the Arts. Those are just a few of the trips there were so many. Originally, $1,000 was provided for those cultural activities. That level of funding, however, fell each year until we eventually received no funding at all. Finally, teachers and assistants had to use our lunch periods each spring just to fund, for bake sales, by the way, just to fund our annual trips. Many of us who are here tonight believe that funding should be placed in the budget so that each and every school in the district can run a meaningful, viable mentoring program, which will help to level the playing field for all of our students.
Good evening, members of the board and assembled community members. My name is Karen Flood, and I am a parent of a Cheltenham Elementary School student and a board member of the Cheltenham African American Alliance, and a member of the PTO, and a member of UPG. I'm here today to speak about the benefits of mentoring in schools. Mentoring is the presence of a caring individual who provides a young person with support, advice, friendship, reinforcement, and constructive role modeling over time. Mentoring is about building relationships. Benefits of mentoring programs in schools are as follows. It gives strong mentorship programs will help Cheltenham youth develop the confidence, self-esteem, and skills they need to be successful in school and in life. Mentoring is widely recognized as contributing to strong and healthy communities. Mentoring helps forge stronger links to students in career and employment programs, so they are able to take full advantage of the working and learning opportunities available. Research supports that school-based mentoring impacts positive outcomes for children and youth, including increased high school completion rates, improved attitude about staying in school, enhanced academic motivation and achievement, improved social skills and behavior, strengthened peer, school, and family relationship, reduced risk of involvement with drugs, and increased sense of belonging in the school community. As you can see, this is a win-win situation. If there were funds allocated for a mentorship program, our students would benefit from developing team building and organizational skills. They experience other learning environments and appreciate their own situation with a more positive outlook. Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board, administrative team, and assembled community members. My name is Angela Shell, and I'm a member of the board of the Cheltenham African American Alliance, teacher at Glenside Elementary School, and mentor. I'm presently mentoring 8 fourth grade girls and 1 kindergarten. Each of these children, identified by either an administrator or teacher, are in need of a positive influence to help them manage challenges while in school. In the past, I have mentored children with similar challenges, and I can attest to the long-term benefits for children when there is a caring adult in their lives. I typically offer support in the form of encouragement, guidance, advice, or simply offering a listening ear. In the past, the children have enjoyed outings with a larger group of mentors and mentees in our buildings. As you've heard earlier, some of these outings have included theater experiences, attending sporting events, and enjoying special times that included their families. I would respectfully request that the board consider providing financial assistance to support mentoring programs in our district. The benefits we realize as a community will far outweigh the cost of adding this program to our budget. Thank you for your time and attention.
Good evening, board members. My name is Vaughn Tesley. I'm a member of the Women's District since 91, 92. My goodness. There's a lot of changes I've seen. There's a lot of changes I haven't seen. And as a member of United Parents Group, co-president, as a member of Cheltenham African American Alliance, as a father, in this district, as a mentor of this district, I don't feel that we have done everything we can for the greater success of our students. And I say that, because we continue to allow students to get expelled, to get suspended, without having a proactive resolution. Everyone in here knows across the board how important it is to be a mentor. Many of you have been mentored. Many of you are mentors. Now is the time to open up an opportunity, to open up a door, to open up a budget that is fit for mentors to execute thoroughly in this district on a consistent basis, emotionally, mentally, and physically.
Marcy Allen, Elkins Park, Chris Sablecker, Elkins Park, and we're here to, after you win your pocketbooks at bingo, invite everybody to train for the 5K run, which is the 8th annual, happening on April 19th, and then it includes all of you. Get your shoes on, and come out and walk, come out and run.
No. You make a run team.
Oh, the boy!
You have your own color shirt, but you don't email me for that email.
There's sponsorship information I left on the counter outside. You can all register at www.runforjake.com. And also to let everyone know, the Cheltenham, it's the Friends of Cheltenham PE is our nonprofit, and we are underwriting the moving of all the equipment to the school district, to the high school, and we pay for the maintenance as well. So that is part of the proceeds that the school board doesn't pay for, school district doesn't pay for, we support that through the run. So just so you all know. Thanks.
First, on behalf of my wonderful, intelligent, beautiful, talented, wonderful co-pilot, Leanne, myself, again, want to extend with our PTO president, Hassan, a heartfelt thank you for the approval. I'm going to take off my seat of our PTO hat, and I'm going to put on my Cheltenham Little League hat. I'm vice president of community relations and communications, part of the board, and we traditionally, every year, send a formal letter, either send it through Susan or through whoever, to cordially extend an invitation to all of you to opening day for Cheltenham Little League, which this year will be April 11th. We have confirmed that the Philly Fanatic will be in the house or on field two. We traditionally invite the president of the board to throw out one of the first balls if you want to, kind of pass that baton if you're going to be. So we have to. I do have to confer with my president, Herb Brockington, and he tends to want to go out and invite many people in the community, which I love to throw out some first balls. Meanwhile, I did want to make sure that I took the opportunity tonight because I believe the next general meeting is after opening day next month. So you will still get your formal, we've been together there, you will get the formal letter, but I did want to extend the invitation tonight and talk to my little league that you are all absolutely welcome, and we hope that you will be with us because you will be witnessing firsthand what your youth are doing outside of the building, the school walls and fields and everything else, and you're seeing that sort of this different side of their lives. And it's really actually exciting to come watch and see and connect with these families that you see in here, but will hopefully be outside in sunshine and a great day. It's a great day. We're going to do it midday, 12:30 is lineup, and then 1 o'clock for ceremonies on the field. So I'll continue to liaise with Susan O'Grady, I guess, around getting that list of participants for this year, and we'll meet you on the field as special VIPs. We hope you can be with us.
Thank you.
Good evening.
pretty good there. How you guys doing? Former Shelton High School math teacher, currently administrator at Universal Institute Charter School, and just hearing some of the folks here speak on mentoring programs, you know, just kind of gave me a little bit of energy to get up here and just say some things from firsthand knowledge. I consider myself always being a mentor, being an educator, but never really necessarily running a mentoring program per se. I ran programs at the high school, whether it be Black Scholars Program, the African American Student League, ran those programs, and yes, they did involve mentoring, but there are other things that come off being a teacher. And just thinking about mentoring as a whole, there are a lot of things that that we have to really think about from a large picture. And I think starting with, who we hire to put in front of our kids, and I think that's very important. Yes, there was a time when GPAs were the most important thing, but I think now that we have to look at things a little bit differently. If you became a teacher because you were good at math, now, I don't really think that's a good reason to hire somebody. If your love for teaching and the reason why you got into teaching is because you love kids, I think that's the number one thing we need to look at moving forward. Additionally, I know a couple years ago, I was working with some folks, and we were doing things on kids we were losing. All right, so we're losing kids to virtual schools, a special ed child, I believe we lost that child to a virtual school. It's like the amount of like $30,000. Virtual school is a kid staying at home, they get a computer, they're doing online, school basically. That's a lot of money. I believe a regular ed student might have been $15,000 to $20,000. So why are parents keeping their kids at home? I think it's for a couple of reasons, and some of those reasons are because the kids aren't connecting with the school. So how do we get the kids to connect more with the school to make sure they feel safe, make sure they feel visible? Because we have a lot of kids that feel invisible. I was at a basketball game, Shelton High School basketball game not too long ago. Just enjoying the game and saw some former students, just having a conversation with them. Oh, so how are you doing? What's going on? They're like, oh, Metcalf, they kicked me out. I got kicked out. Just thinking to myself, weren't a bad kid. I've always been respectful to me. And then when we look at that, the cost of sending kids to an APS, in the sum of, I'm not sure where they're going, but it could be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a pop. That's a lot of money. Just looking on the report that we just had, there were four kids that just got expelled. I don't know their student numbers, I don't know the kids, but I'm just saying, if that's $30,000, that's $120,000 right there. So if we're going to spend the money to get rid of kids, then I think we maybe should look at trying to invest in them early and ahead of time before we get to the point where we have to spend $120,000 to get rid of four kids. And I think that's something that we have to definitely look at. It's a lot of money, and that money should be invested in those kids to keep them here, to make them feel valued, and also to provide programs to expose kids to things that they might not be exposed to. But also to give them the confidence in themselves, so they feel comfortable that they can do the work here at our school. We have a very good school district. I know it's been a lot of talk out there, from folks thinking that we fell off. I'm still very confident, in what we're doing throughout all of our schools. That's why my wife and I live in the district. That's why when I look for a house, even before my kids were born, before my daughter was born, bought a house in Lincoln, which, by the way, is like number 3 in outside. So I'm very happy about that as well. But I just think we have to start making investments within our children. A different way, and I do believe trying to create avenues for scholars to be mentored, and to expose them to the arts that, as was done at Glenside, or just expose them to other adults who have had to travel that same path to get where they got, I think is very important and it's invaluable. Like I said, $120,000 up on the board could be used for so many more things in our district. Let's say you just spent half that and we saved four kids. We made $60,000 if you look at it from a financial perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing no public comment, are there four comments?
I certainly would love to make one. So thank you all for staying. And as a board member, I'm a very big fan of the appropriate process and oversight. But the reason I ran is for what we saw here in the last, let's say, 20 or 30 minutes. Thank you all for what you all do, both as mentors as well as advocating for mentoring, and obviously for the students that that benefits. I definitely believe that it's an invaluable portion of education, and more so for some of the students who, to be honest, look more and more like me. Thank you. I invite you to continue to work with me, work with our administration to continue to advance that agenda and find the appropriate funding where needed. And thank you to our teachers who are, you know, volunteering throughout this district and realistically throughout public schools and schools all over for what you do when we see unfortunate news of students who struggle with both truancy but also struggle with just kind of mental depression and other ailments. I know the benefits that mentoring can provide. I know how important it is. I know how much better a good teacher gets when the students that they're teaching to have mentors in their lives. So thank you all. Make sure that we continue to see you. Make sure that you hold this district accountable. Again, thank you. Yes.
I want to echo those things and to add to that, especially for those of you who are currently working as teachers, former teachers, volunteers in our school district, currently with no funding and no pay, and doing the work that you do to support our students. Thank you very much. We appreciate that you are making the appeal to fund, but that in the interim, you are doing the work that needs to be done. So thank you.
I also want to thank you for coming. It's really good to hear from people because we sit at the table and it's nice to hear what the needs are and what the desires are. I think at one point we did have in our school district mentoring programs in various schools, but not a continuum of mentoring throughout the school district. If we can get to that point, that would be a fabulous place to be, because I do think there's need from K through 12. I'm currently a mentor not in the schools, but elsewhere, and I will tell you it's an enriching experience for me, and I hope enriching experience for the students, or actually all students that I mentor. I think this program needs to be developed that's really robust, you know, that folks go through the appropriate training, the appropriate clearances, because the value of a good mentoring program is just that, a good mentoring program. But I do want to extend thank yous for coming and sharing that with the board. And I think that, again, that continuum from K-12 is really important.
That future meetings are as listed. I now look for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.